Today's program is brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Thank you. the Nacketoons. Welcome to the show.
It's been a couple weeks.
It's been 2 weeks.
Which is a couple.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Post-Thanksgiving. Actually...
No, we were on like the following... We were on the day after Thanksgiving. It's been 1 week.
I do have to say, weird Thanksgiving story. So for any of you who listened to the episode, we had Mom on.
Dude, I covered this when you were gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about the pie in Paris.
I did not listen to the episode.
You didn't listen to the episode.
Shout out to your work.
Liz Andineers is shaking her head. Professional. After all these years. I'm one half your host. I'm Darren Bresnitz.
Greg Bresnitz.
Just like that. Just dropping it. We're very happy to be sneaking in these shows as the year winds down.
Two more.
This is it. And the next year it's... Next week it's Michael Whiteman, our trend show, where we talk about...
Here's a preview. Fuck toast.
Fuck toast.
Yeah.
And guess what? You're going to have to wait a whole week
to learn what that means.
That's as good as the teasers that they tease out on Serial, right?
I can't wait. I literally just got into it. I'm like totally hooked. And now there's only one...
I'm going to say right now, I think that, and we talked about this late last night, that there are a couple of foregone conclusions of what it's going to be, that if it was a real drama, you could write it that way, but I don't think it's going to be as satisfying as people want it to be.
No, I don't think so.
I don't want to do any spoilers because I know that you have.
That's why they did the fundraiser.
That Jacques Torres.
That's why they did the fundraising for episode 8 when it was still really, really.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you like this? Yeah, give us money now. Not at the end of it. Yeah.
It's going to be like all the people, and they're like, we're going to do a Lost sequel. And they did the fundraising after the finale. And it's like, oh. Anyway.
Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Did you at least watch Lost? I know you haven't listened to Serial.
I haven't watched Lost. In fact, I'm just watching Californication for the first time. I watched The Sopranos like a year ago. My taste is really behind and questionable.
I've never seen The Wire. I've never seen The West Wing.
The Wire's up next for me.
That's a mistake.
I know. I've never seen Twin Peaks.
I'm a season. Well, you got to get ready for that because it's coming back.
Anyway, Michelle is joining us from Cover today, which is pretty timely because there's been a huge spate of new apps that are allowing either restaurants to charge in advance or to reserve time. So let's talk about Cover.
Yeah, the reservations app are really interesting. It's not, we're not in that space. It's pretty much the payment experience that you have at Uber with Uber. So you walk into a restaurant, you tell your server you're paying with Cover, and then you don't get the check at the end of the meal. You're able to walk out and just really focus on like the food, the company you're keeping. You can split the check easily 8 ways or 10 ways or 20, and your gratuities all included.
Do you guys have higher rates at peak times?
Higher rates.
Just like
Uber. Just like Uber. It's a surge.
It's 8 p.m., you'll be paying 1.5.
You have to pay quadruple the gratuity.
So is this just sort of like, it's funny. I took a bunch of Ubers yesterday, and then my last ride of the night was a cab. And I was like, I'm totally spoiled now. I was like, ugh, I got to pay for this cab now. Like, I can't just step out. And I'm sure that experience of just leaving, not having to pay the check, just only adds to the enjoyment of the meal.
Yeah, it's really, it kind of takes it back to hospitality at its core, right? Because it becomes really transactional at the end of a meal to have to pull out your wallet, divide up the bill with whoever you're eating with, and then have that transaction like transferred to your server. So it's like a 3-4-step process, and it really bottlenecks you walking out and moving on to your next destination.
So how does it work?
So you check in on your phone.
Everyone has to check in?
We have a really great feature that if I invite you to my table, you just text back yes, and then you've joined the table. It's really fun. It's super easy. And then you just get to focus on what matters. The receipt gets emailed to you, so it's great for like business lunches or that awkward wallet reach at the end of a date that happens. You know, if you're a woman, you're kind of like, I know you're paying, but I'm gonna.
Yeah, how does this replace that though? Anyway. Do you just like pull out your cell phones? You're like, you, me.
No, at the beginning of the meal, the guy checks in to the meal. I'm not trying to genderize it. The male or female checks into the table.
How are you self-identified?
What if the meal does not go well?
Then I guess you text them and they invite them to the table. At the end of the meal, they just have to respond yes. Awkward.
Or no.
Right?
Join
the table at all.
A new sense of shame. But I would agree that, you know, I have like had some really great meals. Kind of just like the final moment, like the check takes 20 minutes just to drop. Oh. And you're just like, And like, I also can't figure out, like, don't you want to get rid of the table? Don't you want to turn the table?
Yeah, it really kills the mood at the end. I also have a habit of drinking a lot of wine and spending way more than I ever intend to. So for me, it's been this experience of all of a sudden I don't have to look at the bill. I don't get the guilt at the end of the meal. That's really a buzzkill.
Doesn't that just come? Oh, yeah. I would say, yeah, we went into... do like a big dinner with everything. It was really fun, and the check came in. It was just everyone just kind of everyone just went
Like the next morning. I would rather like to see it and be like, eh, whatever, yeah. Whatever.
I was eating at Stella all the time. I'm a regular there, and they have cover. And
shout out to the boys.
Shout out to favorite restaurant in New York. And the first time I used cover there, my bill was like, you know, $120 for me, myself, and
was
I.
Was Thomas selecting the wine?
Hey, I have something really nice for you. I have something really nice for you.
I've been defaulting to their $10 glass because it's drinkable and just it's drinkable.
Is that
delicious?
Something, yeah, something nice for you.
Yeah. So going back in for table one.
Where are you guys available?
We're available in New York. We have over 100 restaurants: Charlie Bird, Carbone, Dirty French, all the major food group restaurants.
And what is like the pitch them? Because this is still relatively new. Because the ticket system, for any of you who don't know, started with the Alinea and Next guys in 2012, where they...
Didn't it start earlier out in Spain with Fern Adria?
Different. It's different because you were prepaying, because that was like you had to go. But they started the system as a way to essentially reduce risk. And then you could buy the ticket. It's gratuity included. Wine is not included. And then you could sell them. You could sell the tickets, and they knew...
Or scalp them
as well.
Yeah, the ticketing system in that regard and like prepaying is a little different from the ticketing systems that are happening now.
But what I'm saying, I think that trend kicked off this type of like rethinking the dining experience, like you said, to bring it back to more hospitality.
Yeah.
So what is your pitch, or, you know, how did you, now obviously like things have a tipping point, but in the early days, what was the sell that you did to the restaurants to kind of get them on board?
I think it was just focusing on the hospitality experience, and really at the end of the meal, we're not going to make it transactional. We want people to focus on what matters. You've created this incredible environment. You know, it's very sensory. Restaurants are one of the only places where it's full sensory, right? So it's the music, it's the environment, the lighting, the food. And to have guests focus on that and have kind of give everyone that feeling of they have their own house account. They're what matters. Ooh. The diner's what matters. And at the end, they leave, and they're like, oh, bye.
Why don't we play a quick song?
Oh, bye.
Oh, bye.
Oh, bye.
I hope you...
Or you can just slink off.
Yeah.
Or you can not tell your date that you have cover, and you can be like, you want to dine and dash?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's the way it went. That'd be
so awesome. It's like, you want to feel bad? You want to be naughty? I'm a bad boy. Let's get out of here. Right?
And then they find cover on your phone later at the night.
What's this? Who's this? What's this?
It's like worse than Tinder.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's play a tune, then we'll come back, talk more about cover, talk about expansion, how it's growing.
Thank you.
We're listening to Snacky Tunes. Second last show of the year. It's already pitch black, and it's 4:45.
We have Michelle from Cover joining us.
Welcome. So, do you exclusively only eat at restaurants that have Cover?
I try to, but I have some bad habits. I cheat on it.
Who do you cheat with?
Narcisa mostly. I worked for Standard Hotel Group for a few years. So, you know, when you can go in someplace and they feed you really well, it's hard to say no. Also, Cisco at Balthazar on Sunday. He's a bartender who's been there for 15 years, and he just invites people in. He's handing out glasses of champagne, like, as people are approaching the bar, and everyone goes to see him Sundays. Cisco, Balthazar.
Can't you just go and do the hard sell and just get them to, like, join the Cover family?
I'm working on it. Yeah. I'm working on it because I'm like, I'm going to eat here so much more. And they're like, but really, you're here twice a week already. Yeah.
Can we just quickly shout out the chef at Roberto's for handing in some ice cream deliciousness? Ooh, I think that chocolate's Mexican hot chocolate. It's spicy.
Ooh. Is there something crunchy on the bottom?
Yeah, it looks like really grown-up adult cornflakes.
Ooh.
Don't make me be the only
one. I don't need adult cornflakes. I'm good with kid cornflakes.
So
too.
You're in New York.
We're in New York. We have over 100 restaurants. We have over 40 restaurants in San Francisco.
Ooh, where in San Fran?
Really good places. Slanted Door, Zazie's, Pacifico's, Koi.
I'm going to say it right now. I'm going on the record.
Mm-hmm.
If you removed all the restaurants from San Francisco, I wouldn't like anything else about that.
I have no reason to go to that city.
I don't know what it is.
And when I go there, I usually put down like 5 meals a day.
I'm literally shocked. Really? What about the SF MoMA?
Yeah, that's a good museum.
Yeah, when it's open and not under construction. Listen, I don't know what it is.
It's been under construction for like 3 years.
I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. It's not just me. It's a lot of people who have shifted their love for San Francisco from love to hate. And maybe that's because LA stepped up its game, but San Francisco, take out the food. But unfortunately, El Farolito's never going anywhere.
I like all the hiking in San Francisco, but that also means that everyone's walking around Lululemon.
Ugh.
Which,
shout out to Lululemon's done a lot of great work.
Yes, I appreciate
that. Anything
them.
You want to disclose?
No, I don't want to disclose anything. But Lululemon's done fantastic work.
Oh, this is personal.
But yeah, San Francisco, anyway. So honestly, if I went from the airport to the restaurant to my hotel room, that's all I care about San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. My business partner used to pick me up at the airport and we'd go straight to a meal. Same in L.A., even. I used to go to, like, Galena straight from the airport.
I'm, like, shocked that you're writing off a major U.S. city.
No one's writing it off.
It's a beautiful city.
It's a beautiful city. It's just for people who know better not to go there. Yeah.
I was born in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Does that mean you were born in San Francisco too?
No, we're identical twins, but I was born in Philadelphia. We don't have enough time. So you're in San Francisco, and then you're expanding to LA as well.
We're going to expand to a few other cities towards the beginning of this year.
Do you have a dream? Like, what's the holy grail for you?
The holy grail of restaurants?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
We normally don't ask tough questions. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
God, I'm stumped. You know, I want to be able... Probably, we have Mama Fuku Ko, so that's like that kind of is a holy grail. Balthazar would be nice. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of a land grab. It's like, how often do you want to eat out? How many restaurants do you eat out at a week?
And what do you guys put as your pitch over like the rising competitors? Like, what do you...
We're really focused on the hospitality aspect. So taking technology out of the equation instead of adding technology in. Right. So there's kind of two visions of the future when it comes to technology in restaurants. And one is where you don't think about it and it just makes the experience more seamless and more focused on the diner. And the other is where you use it to sell off reservations or, you know, fill certain time slots or whatever it is. But the technology's more integrated into the dining experience. I'm raised Italian, like. The idea of sitting down to a table with like 10 people and not having any distractions, but the food and the wine and the conversation is like just
favorite Italian
that's
dish.
That's a dream. My grandmother's like escarole and beans.
Correct.
My grandmother correct. Just cooks with water, garlic powder, and then whatever else
and
she's
a,
putting
and a dull
in.
Knife.
And yeah, and some like
been
tomatoes.
Sharpened in 40 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's why she yells at everyone when they're helping her in the kitchen because no one else knows how to use those tools but her.
Garlic powder.
You
want to
get it real
tool.
Nice and dull, but then sharpen it right before you murder your husband in a.
So, in 5 years, where do you see Cover? Where do you want it to be? How do you see it shifting the way that people dine.
When you hit a tipping point with that, it creates even more benefits on the restaurant end, right? Because they can really get tables back to the rest of their customers as soon as possible. So the more you reach critical mass, the more it benefits the restaurant side.
Do you have stats yet on like table turns and like how many like increasing covers in a night?
We don't, because we haven't. There's very few restaurants where we have that many cover users in a night. But we do. Our spenders do tip more and tend to spend more because the focus is very much on the meal. Whereas like the way OpenTable works is they send an itemized receipt to your phone. If you're using OpenTable to pay, you're getting the receipt live as you dine. So with our diners, they tend to spend more than Amex users and tip more as well. That tip average is like 23%.
Do you pre-select your tip?
You do. You default it, but you can change it anytime in the meal. To 50
waiter comes
or
over, you just
15.
Have your hand moving.
Yeah, we're gonna start at 25, and for every time you disappoint me, we're gonna drop down 1%.
All right. Well, where can people find the app? Where can people find you guys?
It's on Apple and Android. Download it, and if you invite friends to download it, you get $10, and they get $10 too. So enjoy your meal with that extra glass of wine.
You invite me, we go to dinner together. $20.
What's that?
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, we have Ocasties live in studio. You guys have been very patient.
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Very patient. Thanks for joining us. Stick around for a little bit. And
yeah. You know, I've discovered a new thing about the table right outside the window is that when we have eaten all of our pizza and they get fresh hot pizza, I get a little jealous.
They're eating a calzone.
I don't think they're going to be able to finish that food. That's a calzone and a full pizza for the two of them.
Jesus.
If the people sitting outside are listening to this, which they're not, please bring over leftovers to Snacky
Tunes.
You're
making a fool of yourself.
One more thing. We have a special promo code for Cover.
Snacky Tunes.
Snacky Tunes.
You guessed it.
You guessed it. You just put Snacky Tunes in. What do they get?
$10 off their meal.
Greg, if we invite each other.
And then we use the
code. That's $40 meal. That is a free $40 meal that we are going to get. Anyway, that was just Penny by Chumped. Who knew, after all these years, that we'd like punk rock with chick singers?
Cassius, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
All the way from Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Big shout out to Jeff, by the way. Love that guy.
Jeff who?
Oh, Kilgore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
He's Jeff Kilgore rides or dies for his bands.
Does he ride 84?
Is that
like the highway? Is that highway in Connecticut?
Yeah, that was good. No. I was like, wow, was
he's
that
Jersey.
A Connecticut show?
He's from Jersey.
That's a Connecticut. That's a Connecticut. Oh, he's the 95. More like an Avail.
Totally.
The Turnpike or something.
Yeah. So welcome. So we were talking in the very awkward 10 minutes before the show that your family has a restaurant up in Bridgeport that is sort of like Roberta's.
Well, in the fact that there's wood everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
In the fact that it's an edifice and people
it's
eat there.
Ragtime.
Okay.
No, but I should. I did say that.
No, I mean the caveat was like as Roberta's as a place like Bridgeport, Connecticut can get.
Right, and I mean I think that their place is very. It's like in the same way. This is sort of like a melange of different styles and things, and sort of using the existing edifice to create this cool style. That's what Harborview is. It just doesn't quite look like this. It's a little different.
What type of food?
It's American fare. I mean, it's very kind of greasy spoonish.
What's the star dish, and what do you think?
The croissants.
Really?
Yes, my dad.
Nothing croissants. Says American fare like croissants.
Well, my dad's Cuban, actually. So, so my father.
So it's a melting pot.
It's very much a melting pot. And you know what? There you go. That's very American.
There you go.
So,
but, and what is the unsung hero of the menu? You're like, I can't understand why this doesn't get ordered more.
Oh.
Tough questions.
You know, everything gets ordered a lot. I think that it's a popular place.
Popular.
And I think when things don't go so well, we immediately just, they're out.
Oh, really?
Know? Oh, man.
So we have
they're horrors for the people. They pander.
That's right.
In the best way possible.
What's a brunch wait for you on a Saturday, Sunday?
Can you say that again?
What's a brunch wait? How long are you waiting for brunch?
Oh, a brunch wait? Yeah, it's kind of long.
Yeah.
I thought you meant W-E-I-G-H-T. No. And I was like, I don't know, no. 2-3 pounds?
Yeah. 2-3 pounds.
Depends how hungover I am.
I mean, sometimes people get creative and they take two croissants and then they put one of my mom's chocolate chip cookies in the middle, put it in the waffle iron, and then you get the...
Croissant chip witch.
And then you're talking like 2-3 pounds an hour, depending on the number of croissants.
Say that again, croissant.
Sand chip witch. Yeah.
Oh my god, my heart just stopped a little.
Yeah.
And then you recently moved to Bridgeport as well, right?
Well, it was actually some time ago now, but I relocated from Bushwick to Bridgeport.
That's a classic move.
That's a classic. I know.
I might be the only one who's
ever
done
it. Wait,
is that
what B2B means?
Yeah. Oh. All right, let's hear a song.
Wait a second. Before we do a song,
I don't know, dude.
I have one music question.
Okay.
What is it like? What's the community like in? In Connecticut.
You're looking at it.
Oh!
All right, now we can hear a song.
Okay. We got the number one
really
guitar
no
player
from
the number one restaurant in Bridgeport.
That was a gamble. That was a gamble, but I decided to go with it.
No regrets.
Hey,
no regrets.
No one said that Snacky Toots can't pull A-listers. No one said that. No. Let's hear a song, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the band and about the Christmas album you have coming up.
Okay. Album is a stretch, but right.
a hodgepodge of song, a real melting pot of Christmas tunes.
Singular song.
Okay, a real one track. So, what are you gonna play for us?
Go ahead, Mary.
This song's called "I Can't Win," which we clearly can.
Oh, you guys are doing just fine.
All right, here we go.
We just wrote this.
No less than 1,000 times. Just this morning on the high line, every stranger humming to their sounds might be the cure for what is my same. If nothing else, just a moment's distraction from I can't get no this and that aim. Just fit it in, I can't win. I sighed for you more than 1,000 times. Last night under the moonlight, so many strangers run from one to another. I don't know how to string these lines together. If nothing else, just a moment's distraction from I can't get no this and that end. Just fit it in, I can't win. Oh, and I'm only stopping you to see if you could change up my whole life. Don't know, it's just
something in your eyes. That's right, I haven't seen them yet, but we're talking now, and who knows how it works anyhow. Well, it works anyhow. Well, it works anyhow. Change up my whole life. I don't know, it's just something in your eyes. Well, that's right, I haven't seen them yet, but we're talking now. And who knows how? Well, it works anyhow. Well, it works anyhow. Well, it works anyhow.
Never see the kazoo coming. Actually, I'd have to say that I think you like kind of had that hidden, and then you like slowly.
It's instant smiles, especially when people don't know.
I don't think we've ever had a kazoo on here. Well, yeah,
just people like, what is that? It's a great reaction.
I wonder if the guy in the office also hates kazoos. He's like, I hate San Francisco.
And fuck kazoos.
Many people do hate the kazoo.
Really?
But it's a contentious instrument. They learn to love it.
Divisive. Real divisive.
It's a real one note.
Polarizing.
I mean, that's what many civil wars are fought over. Do you bring it out during shows and people just like cross their arms and just dead stare?
Like sound guys, because when we play live, I play it through pedals and through an amp. And they're like...
Naturally.
Okay, can we test the electric kazoo? Like, what are you doing? Like, why me?
I want it as dripping wet with feedback as your sarcasm, sir. So let's talk about this Christmas. I'm sorry, not album, not opus, but track.
Yes, track.
What is it? What made you want to write a Christmas? What made you want to add the canon of Christmas tunes?
Well, I mean, you have a lot of giants to stand shoulder to shoulder with.
The Italian Donkey song.
Mm-hmm. Donald the Donkey. If anyone knows why that's part of the canon. I've listened to the words. There's like not... Anyway.
There's not much to it.
There's not...
It was when we were at the dentist's office, right?
Yeah.
It was. I was like, what is this Christmas song?
Yeah. So why are you adding your voice to the choir?
The choir of Christmas enthusiasts or people that are trying to jump on that bandwagon. I think that really this came out... It didn't even... have anything to do with us trying to jump on any bandwagon. It had to do with the fact that I was very broke and that I didn't have any money for gifts for my family 3 years ago. And
made a sort of insincere, anti-consumerist Christmas song in lieu of gifts.
You can look at it that way, or you can look at it as a very sincere anti-consumerist
Not only did I not get you presents, but I wrote a song about why
no one should even want presents.
No one should have presents.
That was like the year that my parents were like, hey, we love you guys, we know you're broke, but no more mix CDs as gifts.
I give coupon books every year.
You mean coupon books for like I'll wash your car kind of coupon books?
Yeah, like I'll massage. Take you to this thing. Yeah. I will give you a gift if you cash in this coupon.
One free hug, right?
I'll sit next to you
so
while you buy me dinner.
You wrote the song, and ironically, you now make millions off of it, right?
Millions. I mean, the money has not stopped flowing in since yesterday. And
But the irony is that you can't actually buy any gifts because it would go against the spirit
of
the song.
Hey, guys, listen, I know I've made millions off the song, and I'd love to buy you gifts and not spend it on myself.
But I'm not.
But then I'd be selling my fans out and just...
Just dishonest.
It'd go against the spirit of the song.
So you write the song. How was it received?
They were pleasant about it. I mean, my mom was like, I don't understand what you're saying, as she always does. But she really couldn't because I recorded it so poorly that I had to write the lyrics out on a piece of cardboard.
Wow.
Oh, was it? From another gift that I probably received. It wasn't up. Ripped it open and then used some chalk. And
it wasn't up on lyrics.com yet. It hadn't quite made it.
The other side of that cardboard is like, I need money for presents. Please fill the cup.
It was basically the equivalent of a man standing at the end of the, you know, the freeway that's just saying, but it'll work for food.
But he's inside your living room. Yeah. And you gave life to it.
And he's me.
Yeah. So then once you read the lyrics, was she like, oh, that's sweet?
Yeah, I think the sentiment was definitely taken. And I really was sincere in writing it. I think that in retrospect, I sort of now see maybe there was a subconscious insincerity to it. But the lyrics
with time,
to the,
he's grown.
Yeah, the lyrics to the song are very cool, I think. Or like at least they're meaningful and they relate to
and you would
a
think
sincere
they would,
feeling.
We would ask you to play it on the show, but we're not.
Yeah, no, I don't want to. I don't even think we could play it live yet.
We just
recorded it.
Wow, this is such a I thought that's where this was going.
No, it's not gonna happen.
No,
I think we should play another song that your mom didn't understand the words to.
Wait, can you give us
so any of them?
Well, I was thinking the one where she thinks we're saying I'm waiting to get laid, but we're actually saying I'm waiting to get claimed, and she used to just like cover her ears because it was too crass
so
for her, and that's
so,
not what we're saying.
So before we move away from this Christmas song moment, can you give us the most poignant lyrics of the song?
Oh, that is fair. That is a fair question.
Wow, I'm so glad I did not write this Christmas song. Well, I just sang the backups.
The
and
the
sold
most
you
poignant,
down the river before we started.
I'm gonna have to go the whole thing. It's kind of it has a Christian sentiment. I mean, I definitely grew up Catholic and I have that. I mean, I think we have three Italians here. I'm assuming all three.
Oh, no, Greg and I are Jewish.
No, three here.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You guys, I know it. We've established this, the Jewish twins.
Mench on a bench. This year's hottest competitor to Elf on a Shelf. But seriously, the lyrics. You're not getting out of it with jokes.
Yeah. Not a joke. So the song definitely has like a Christian message, or at least it sort of indicates that we've gotten away from the real sentiment of Christmas, which is a feeling of togetherness and belief and love in the goodness of humankind. So the song sort of goes against the consumerist sort of thing that's happened with Christmas. So I think the most
poignant lyric
what
is
it? How's it start though?
The eve of the day.
No, not that. That's the beginning.
I was going to say, as long as I have you, I'll be home for Christmas.
Yes, that's definitely the crux of the song. But no, life is a funny thing.
Oh yeah.
Blink and it's gone. I'm through with the presents. I'm through with the presents, gift cards, and malls. The son of man in the season belongs.
I can't believe you're saying these lyrics out
loud. They made me.
He's purple.
We asked. They made me. You think
William Shatner, spoken word performance.
Life is a funny thing. Blink and it's gone. So it's essentially saying, you know, as long as I have you, I'll be home for Christmas.
Oh my God. All right, let's hear another song.
Okay, this one's called Carpenter. Then we'll do
that. Oh,
yeah, because
we'll
I got a tune.
Okay.
Oh.
Which is perfect because it's about Jesus, too, right? Carpenter.
No, this one's not about Jesus.
Oh my God.
This one is not about Jesus. Sensitive subject. Catholics and Jews.
I know.
Like,
I'm
I know.
Crying too.
This one is called Carpenter and not Jesus.
Morning time, I am a carpenter, bear them all back, no. And just to burn them back to ashes and start again, no. And just to start again, no. Knows how hard I try. I wouldn't know any way to love if you bound my hands and broke my mind. I'm nothing more than a boy, you see. Because there is no secret I want to hide. I will show you all my. Burn them back to ashes and start again with you. And just to start again with you.
I know that we only asked you for three songs, but I also know you do a lot of covers.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if we might be able to sneak in a cover or talk about how you choose your cover. I mean, is it a rigorous process? Is it what you hear on the radio on the way home from the restaurant? How does that go?
Fishbowls.
I have been talking
papers.
Quite enough.
I thought I got some real gems in there.
You did.
She got some good gems. Yeah. She might have had the best joke of the show.
Yeah. Which I don't remember.
The Carpenter that. Joke.
Oh, yeah.
He's already blocked it out.
Guys, if you're listening to the podcast, you can actually pause and rewind to hear that glorious joke. And check out other podcasts of Snacky Tunes on the Heritage Radio Network.
Liz, is that good?
She's not even listening to us. She's like this drab dribble.
She's like, ten days and I'm going home.
So how do you pick it? And then also, are any covers off the table?
Like that
good follow-up question.
We've done them and we won't do them anymore? Or?
Well, that's one thing. Or has someone covered it, like Ben Gibbard covered Thriller, this Michael Jackson tune. I don't know if you guys heard of it.
Which album
was
it?
We actually covered it.
I don't know what album it's off of. It might be off of Bad. but like he sort of, you know, he took that cover and made it his.
Yeah.
You know.
We did Thriller once, actually.
We did do Thriller.
For Halloween. Halloween.
Which when is that?
Halloween is a Christian holiday.
Actually, yeah. Do you have time to talk about the Halloween album you have? I know we're a few months behind. So what track? What cover do you have? Or what's the process?
I mean, it's very. A lot of times, it just comes from something that we both like, or we think that we could do sort of something different with. But then, I mean, we did a One Direction cover that John did not want to do at all, and I came up with an arrangement and convinced him it was going to be really good, and it became something that people really liked. And then, I mean, I think we just try to show the breadth of things that we like, you know, all the different kinds of music that appeals to us, because I think there's such a tendency for people to pigeonhole music and to put it into categories and to think that, you know, if you like heavy metal, then you don't like, you know,
alt country.
Yeah. And most people like something from everywhere. So I think we're always trying to show the different things that influence.
However, if you were to ask somebody that said that we listen to it, it's like, I listen to everything, you would slap them.
Of course. Because those people always listen to the worst music, you know, but.
Oh, I listen to everything and world music.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, all right. What cover are you going to play for us?
Oh, I don't know. This is completely, you know. This
yeah.
Is, yeah. Yeah, this is really.
This is this might go down as our toughest show of
the
day.
The cover. Oh, that'd we could be interesting. But we could also just do our thing because we were going to do that other song and they built.
Oh, yeah, that one.
But
okay.
I don't know.
All right. I mean, that's fine with me.
The song we're about to play next, we usually do a cover into it. Oh, like okay. It's a medley. Like, should we do that?
No, just save it for the end. We can do two covers. It's fine.
Oh, we
yeah, we got time for two more.
We got time. So what's
then? Yeah, I think you're right.
What's this pure cover going to be?
Oh, we're not telling you.
No.
Oh, all right.
There's lots of swears.
Darren, 20 seconds of Phil. Go.
What's that? Drop D.
We
should do
Dad.
GBD.
Oh, by the way, if anyone has recommendations for restaurants near Burlington, is that where we're going to be?
Yeah,
I don't know. Vermont.
Do you have cover in Burlington?
No.
No.
Are you
second quarter next year?
And then we're also going to be out in L.A. for the holiday season from the 29th to the 4th. So for all of you L.A. fans, you know, write us. We'll hang out.
When are you going to be in L.A.?
I'll write you and hang out.
29th till the 8th or something like
December?
That.
Oh, December?
Well, yes. To January. Yeah. Okay. That's some good patter here. You get that thing tuned yet? We're dying.
We changed ideas.
This is for me. The choice of this cover was inspired by the movie Swingers. But John and I have slightly different movie like reference points. So for John, I'm not sure what it was inspired by.
I just thought it'd be cool.
There you go.
There we go. Hey, that's more than half the reasons behind art.
The movie Swingers.
My walk, I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. Music loud and women warm. I've been kicked around since I was born. And now it's alright, it's okay. You may look the other way, but we can try to understand the New York Times effect on me. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're just staying alive, staying alive. Feel the city breaking and everybody shaking up. Staying alive, staying alive.
Day. We can try to understand. York Times or PayPal man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. Feed the city bacon and everybody's shaking. We're staying alive, staying alive. Ah, ha, 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 staying alive, staying alive. Ah, ha, 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 staying alive.
You know, the original Bee Gees track had a kazoo in it, but it was too controversial for the disco age.
It was deep in the mix.
Yeah,
deep in the mix.
Buried
deep in the mix.
Buried.
By the way, I just want to say that your swingers joke was not missed, and one of the better jokes. That may have beat out the Carpenter joke. So.
Oh, thank you. I thought whoever appreciated it would really...
I really like that.
So what's on
next?
Deck? Yeah, what's coming up for you guys? Besides, you know,
like
New Year's.
Activities-wise?
Yeah, well, band-related activities.
President's Day weekend, full album. 12 tracks about George, 12 tracks about Abe.
Yeah, it's four vinyls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real Versus album.
180 grams.
We're taking the Sufjan Stevens, like, yeah. concept approach.
Every holiday gets an album.
Your nine-minute cherry tree song is a near masterpiece.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're trying to make a full-length album. We put out an EP in October, and so we're actually going to be in LA in January.
When are you going to be there?
At the end of the month.
I'll be at the end of the month.
Okay, well, let's hang out.
Let's go to a restaurant.
Or something. Hey, let's text each other.
Have you guys heard of this thing called avocado toast?
Oh my God. Fuck
That's
avocado toast.
Next week
on Snacky Tunes.
I'm really upset about fuck toast. That's like, if someone asked me what my last meal would I'd say toast.
We're going to be a spoiler. It's spoilers.
Hold on. Full circle, where did the toast trend start? San Fran fucking Cisco.
God. $7.50 for a piece of avocado toast.
Is that true?
I was at the place yesterday. And it's like, I was like, so is that bread? Yeah. Avocado, yeah. A little sea salt, Laval, yeah. $7.50.
That's because the avocado shortage that's coming.
Yeah.
No, fuck that.
Yeah.
The drought.
Read about your futures.
No, wait. You just get, there's Haas avocados and there's another type of avocado.
Hey, Greg, can I tell you something?
Yeah, those
that restaurant.
Ones, yeah. I just got into
Yeah, them. And like there's no shortage. There's like aesthetically pleasing shortage.
The Greg? Problem with the green ones, though, is that you can't always eat the whole thing. And
But then you savings spread on some toast.
No, but there's something about the giant green ones from Miami that are just not as good.
Well, beggars can't be choosers.
But I'm into
them now. When an avocado shortage.
Listen, if that restaurant had cover, you could have just paid for it in advance and not worried about the cost of it.
Yeah.
Enjoy the avocado.
What's the term for a double full circle?
I don't know. Infinity.
Infinity.
Yeah. Hey. Like that. Yeah.
So you're going to be working on an album.
So we're going to go to LA, and then we're going to go to Nashville.
Oh.
Yeah.
Princess Hot Chicken.
We're going
to. And you got to go to Arthur's.
Yeah.
For Meetin' 3.
Meetin' 3. James Beard.
This is great.
Yeah. And you should go to the Third Man Records place, which is fucking awesome.
Right, cool. And just hang out there and wait to
just
be
wait,
noticed.
Yeah.
A catbird seat.
Anyway, all right, well, that's exciting.
So good. All right, well, now we have our food ideas.
We'll send you more.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to do a residency at Rockwood Music Hall.
Oh
fun.
In March.
What day
we
of the
think
week?
It's March.
We think it's March. Wednesday is probably.
We just played
Yo,
there.
Jeff, get on that.
We played, yeah, Jeff
well,
actually was integral
who, like,
in
he, of course he is. He right or does.
We played there on Thursday and we think it went pretty well and Jeff was speaking with somebody there and sort of came up to us afterwards and told us that they want us to do it. So.
Oh, wait, is this a Snacky Tunes exclusive?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is hot off the emails.
I cannot wait to see this getting picked up by Revolt and MTV tomorrow.
Yeah. okay. Well, we want to make sure we get one more song and that you actually did plan.
So, where are you on the internet?
Ocassius.com and then all the other places.
How's your gram game?
Instagram.
I mean, if you want to say the whole thing, sure.
Well, I call it Stagram. It's two animals. Easier for me to remember.
Ooh, Stagram.
Our Stagram game is. I mean, it's the only social media thing that has two animals in its name. Come on, that's amazing.
Stagram
and both horned animals.
This might be the smartest episode of Snacky Tunes yet.
It's going to get better. It's going to get a lot better after today. That's actually
now
part
that
of
someone might go to it. Yeah.
We should actually come up with Ocassius New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Let's go around. Michelle, you're up on this too.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Every year my resolution is to be a better pedestrian. Every year. Never works.
Still jaywalking after all these years.
Oh, that's a good song. All right. Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome.
Thanks for helping us create this magic.
Get the EP.
Yes.
Download
please.
Cover.
Where is it? Is it up on Bandcamp?
It's on iTunes, which is like it's like Bandcamp.
Like all those places.
How are they doing? Yeah, they're not going to finish it. They're
okay, so it. They definitely have... Oh, you just saw me checking them out. They definitely have half a calzone and two slices.
Dan Savage has that rule, fuck first, because when you go to a big meal like that on a date, you should really get it in before.
Get it in before you get it in, huh?
Where can people, if they want to read the trend report before the show next week, where can they...
Oh, dude, come on. Don't put me on the spot like that. It's a website.
Bombandwhite.com. And go to the trend section. You can read the, I think it's like 11... tips, and you can be very educated on toast.
Yeah, but spoiler. Yeah.
It's not a spoiler. Anyway.
So thank you guys so much. Thanks to the ice cream from the Roberta chef. It was delicious. And the adult cornflakes. And you found that you needed them in your life. So good. All right, so what's this last... Are you going to do the cover into the song?
No.
Don't ruin it. Just
will it be
fucking
too long?
They just sort of teased it out.
Yeah. No, just do your thing. We got time.
We have time?
Yeah.
We have time. Do you want to?
Yeah.
It's two songs. Is that
two
cool?
Full songs.
Whatever.
All it's right. Gonna go off, and then they're only for the cover.
We good? She says we're good. She's the keeper.
She's the keeper. She's the watcher. Oh, she's doing that Montgomery Burns.
She also said she really liked this music, so this is mostly for her.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movie. And I'm not proud of my change. In the torn up town, no postcard handy. But every song is like gold teeth, gray goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. Driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like freestyle Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair. We'll never be royals. It's all in our blood. The kind of love's just made for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. Friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come from money. But every song is like gold teeth, grey goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like a crystal Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair. We'll never be royal. Something to somebody. I just wanna have something to say to somebody. Like that accidental I love you that I have to back away from when the morning comes. I just wanna get
something to somebody. I just wanna have something to give to somebody. Like that accidental, I love you. And I have to back away from when the morning comes. It's just that thing that we do, making up the rules so that we can live between them in that little place where we decide what's fair. Someone waits, heart open, bleeding. Yes, someone waits, heart open.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.